It's Monday, February 27th, and this is Geek Night. Tonight, with our new dynamic range compressor, we talk about Listowel.
Let's do this!
So, sitting here in front of me is a shiny metal blue new piece of equipment that I've been fiddling with for the last several hours.
And he'll probably continue to fiddle with it forever and ever and ever unless I stop him. And if he ever stops, all I have to do is get him another box with some lights on it and some knobblies. And
it's got lights, and I can fiddle with it.
I'm telling you, if they just made boxes with, like, a bunch of different colored LEDs and, like, knobs that you turned that modified the illumination of those LEDs, Rim would sit there forever just playing with those knobs.
Well, see, actually, these LEDs actually do something. I mean, it's a compressor, and it gives me all the levels and tells me how much it's compressing the audio. And expect the audio quality of the podcast for the next 2 weeks at least to vary slightly so from episode to episode as I tune. I mean, I'm using one of the preset values on this thing now, and I did a rudimentary leveling before I did it all. Scott was actually yelling at me for taking too long to do it, but I'll fill some more later.
If anyone can tell the difference in a double-blind hearing test, I'll give you money.
Well, they'll be able to tell some obvious differences, like if one of us is a lot louder than the other person or anything.
I meant between, like, you know, not between now and before, but between, like, today and tomorrow and the next day and the next day.
I can think of one thing that'll probably change significantly, and that's going to be the amount of noise, which will take me a while to hammer out. Because,
whatever.
I mean, we've asked so many times for feedback on the audio, how good it is. Only one person has ever actually given us any useful feedback when they said that it sounds like ass in their car.
It sounds like ass in my car, too.
Yep. So we discovered that it does indeed sound like ass in a car, and we knew exactly why, and that's why I got this shiny piece of equipment in front of me.
Mm.
So I won't talk about it anymore until eventually I do that show I keep talking about on how we do the podcast.
But now I have to suffer him sitting in here going, while
yeah,
twiddling,
for the last hour.
While twiddling with knobs.
I didn't have any good source of audio. I basically need a recording of myself yelling to make this easier. So I would sit here and I yell into the microphone watching levels, fiddle with a knob, and then yell again. And Scott in the other room had to listen to that.
We should have a betting pool of when he'll stop fiddling with the knobs.
I'll bet on myself that within 2 weeks, I'll be done fiddling.
Then I'll just get you and I'll just move one of the knobs and then you'll sit there for another 2 weeks.
Yeah, you see, the knobs all have numbers on them, so I could just move it back.
Some of them are sort of gradual with, you know, not very...
You know what? I'll make a mark on it with a Sharpie.
I'll erase it and move the knob.
You can't erase a Sharpie mark.
Oh, yeah, you can.
Yeah, what's... You gonna get some butane?
I've done it. Before.
All right, so anyway... In the news, our good friends Diebold, you know, the people who made the cheating, broken, fake voting machines that barely work and are crappy, and Scott and I could have made a better voting machine in our spare time.
Well, the thing is, there's one thing that Diebold does very well, and that is make boxes and things that are hard to open. You know, like a box that you put an ATM machine in, or
yeah,
a box you put your money in.
I mean, the lock boxes they make, you're not going to get into them easy, and if you do, it's tamper evident. They do a good job at that.
Yep. They make big, heavy metal boxes with latches and locks and keys and fireproof and...
I think the problem is
everything.
That they hired all these coders to write the stuff for their voting machines, but the people in charge of the companies are thinking of these things like they're still just a big, solid lockbox kind of deal.
Well, they made the box really well, but they need a little voting machine to go in the box, and they hired someone to write software for a voting machine. Now, I don't know about you, but I can get... CS1 students to write a voting program that works. You have two buttons. If you click one number goes up. If you click the other number goes up.
You
store those numbers in memory, and then when someone types the secret code or pushes the third button, the numbers appear.
Oh, you know what? Also, to add the paper trail, just everything cats out to, you know, a little printer somewhere, a little serial printer.
Yep.
Just with that long ribbon of paper.
Like a little receipt printer.
Something like that.
And then someone reloads the paper.
See, I'm not even CS. I'm IT. I learned in school, when I went to RIT, the language that IT people use for most of their classes was Visual Fucking Basic. And
which
I could have written...
Which is pretty useless.
Yeah, but I could have written a better voting machine than Diebold.
Oh, in Visual Basic, you can write a voting machine program in 5 minutes. In fact, I can teach someone who've never programmed a computer in their lives. You had to have used a computer in your life, because I can't teach how to use the mouse and keyboard, but...
Well, he could, but he wouldn't. He'd just get too pissed at you.
Yeah, but if you knew how to use a mouse and a keyboard, I could teach you to write a voting machine program in 5 minutes with Visual Basic.
So we're not going to get into the whole thing about what Diebold did and why they're evil, but everyone knows that they're pretty much a bad company. There's a chance that they might have tried to rig elections, whatever. But the point is, our government has been kind of standing by him and using him. Well, a while ago, a guy named Stefan Heller, who worked for them, or
his
worked for some...
Heller.
Huh? Yeah, Heller.
That can't be bad. His name be... I mean, can't be good. His name begins with hell. It's like...
That wasn't
guy.
Funny.
it's like the mark of a bad guy when his name has something bad in it. Like, if his name was like Joe Satanor, it's like, all right.
All right, tell you what. If anyone out there listening is named Joe Satanor, I'd like you to come in and talk to us, because I bet you're not a bad guy.
Joey Jojo
Shabadoo.
Yeah.
All right.
So anyway, name I have a hide.
This guy, I'm not going to tell you the whole story, because you can read the link I put on the website. And if you're not going to the website, and you haven't been to our website, I'll point out that we have links to everything we talk about. So if we talk about something, and you don't know what the hell it is, or it's just we talk about it in too vague, or too whatever, there's a link there that'll explain it in great detail.
Yeah, if you're one of those people who found us in iTunes or something, and you subscribe, and you never go to the website, go there.
Yeah, there's stuff.
FrontRowCrew.com.
Yeah.
You can throw a www at the beginning. That's probably a good idea. I don't know.
It's not
necessary, but it's good.
It's unnecessary for now because we only have one server, but someday.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'm going to skip all the long story, you know, reading the article to you. But basically, this dude found some documents within Diebold that basically explained that they knew their voting machines were crappy, that they weren't certified, that it was illegal to use them, but they were going to use them anyway, and all sorts of just damning, incriminating evidence.
All right, now here's the thing. When you're a company and you do so... All right, so you're a company. You decide to do something bad. Why do you write down that you did a bad thing on any document ever?
Yeah, all right, Scott, pretend you're my secretary and I'm the high-ranking CEO.
Okay.
Secretary, I'd like to take a dictation.
Okay.
All right, begin. I am an evil fuck and I just stole $10,000 from the company. I then killed a baby. All right, that sounds good. Yeah, print that and hide it somewhere. I mean, what the hell are they thinking?
I don't know. I don't get it. I never understood this, like, they had to destroy documents. Why did they create documents?
Well, I mean...
And if you create a document and you did something bad, you don't write it in the document. It's, you know, maybe you're forced to write certain documents for accounting or something. Write down that you did a good thing. Write down that you did what you're supposed to do. Just lie. Lie.
Well, I guess there is precedent for this. I'm going to Godwin our own podcast, but if you go back to the Nazis, they wrote down the names of everyone they killed, and had these nice little organized, here's everything evil we did in order. Serialized, even.
Yeah,
so
but
when
the
we
Nazis
marched in,
didn't expect, you know, they weren't...
They didn't expect to lose.
Yeah, it's like the Nazis, they were in charge of everything that they were doing. There wasn't anyone really above them. There was no, like, world... leader. They were expecting to become the world leader.
Yeah.
They were number two, pretty much. You know, well, actually, they were number one on their own, but everyone else together beat them out.
Yeah.
Kind of like the U.S. is number one in terms of any country, but all of Europe can kick our ass together.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, they didn't answer to anyone. They weren't in fear of being caught.
So
they were already shooting people.
I got this question for you. If anyone who works at Diebold listens to Geek Nights.
Lol.
Yeah. You're not the Nazis, and there are people who can just come in and read all your stuff.
And put you all in jail.
Yeah.
Like,
but here's
treason,
the problem. Here's
maybe,
why this
even.
Is news, and here's why we're talking about it. It's not that he found these documents. I just find that amusing. They are now pressing charges against the dude who found these documents and gave them to the public and gave them to the police. Because he got them in a way that might have been illegal.
But isn't there the whistleblower action?
Yeah. Now, it's complicated because there are a whole bunch of laws to protect what are called whistleblowers. Now, these laws were written basically for, say you work in a factory, you're an auto worker, and there's a machine that just isn't, like, it isn't safe and it cuts people's hands off. And they
Wouldn't
tell
there
it,
be a lot of workers' comp cases real quick?
Yeah, but say they hush it up. Or say, like, they know it's a dangerous situation and they just don't say anything about
and
it.
And no one gets hurt. Because
yeah.
if someone got hurt,
someone could get
everyone
hurt,
would
but
know
they
about
know.
It.
But say it's illegal, like it's an illegal machine, and it's obviously illegal, it doesn't meet OSHA, it's a dangerous piece of shit.
Mm-hmm.
And you go to the feds, or whoever, whatever, you know, OSHA, let's say, and you tell them, hey, Ford or GM or whatever company I work for is doing something dangerous and evil right there. Now, these laws protect you from being fired or otherwise harassed by the company you're blowing the whistle on. Hence, a whistleblower law.
You know, if I did that, I probably wouldn't want to work for that company anymore. I'd quit and then blow the whistle and quit.
But let's say the company, like, blacklists you for other companies, or they do some sort of, you know, they try to kill your family, I guess. I don't know. Anything they try to do to you, or say they try to sue you for defamation or something, these whistleblower laws can help protect you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's a gray area with this guy because he got the documents in an illegal way, technically. But because he had the documents, and even though he wasn't allowed to disclose them, he decided to for the greater good because the documents document an evil that was done.
Does he have good lawyers? Is he better?
All I know is that we'll follow up on this because on April 24th, which isn't that far away, he's going to have the first hearing. Now, I'm sure that
there are plenty of lawyers who are awesome who are going to go, we'll help you for free because fair.
Yeah, I hope so. Though the thing is, Diebold got screwed over the documents he released. And worst case scenario, say they throw the book at him as hard as they can. He's only up for 3 years, 8 months at most.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that would suck. I'm not going to pretend that a few years in prison is some trifle or something just to be laughed at, but it's not being shot. It's not being thrown in jail forever. If that's the worst Diebold can do to him, and he basically shed light on this huge, horrible conspiracy / evil, I have a lot of respect for this dude. And if he goes to jail, I'll be kind of mad.
Yeah, that always sucks. You know, trying to do good and you get the stick. And the guy's doing bad, they go, wee!
See, that's the world today. There's a stick just waiting to fall on us anytime we try to do anything.
Yep.
The man's standing there with the stick, and he's keeping us off his lawn.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well,
we gotta set fire to his lawn.
Yeah.
All right, so a few weeks ago, I don't know, maybe days ago, I don't know, I wasn't paying attention, but this link appeared to something called origami, which is, you know, usually the art of folding paper into cool shapes.
Yep. Now, Scott, the thing that we're going to talk about, I'd heard of, but I didn't connect that it was called origami. I just knew that something like this was coming out. So Scott asked me right before the show, hey, want to do the origami thing? And I asked, what? What the hell are you talking about?
So it was this website that was really sort of vague about what it was referring to. But somehow people seemed to get the idea that it was about something really important. I have the idea that people from, you know, the thing from origami or working with origami.
Wow, we're really, you know, dancing around actually saying what it is.
Yeah, we are. They kind of, that's because I'm trying to give people the feeling of what it was like to see it come out because they were really dancing around what it was.
Yeah, because once I saw a picture of it, the moment I saw a picture and it all clicked together, I thought, wow, that's actually kind of cool.
So, basically, it came out onto the net, I'm pretty sure, on purpose. They were, you know, there was, it was on purpose. They marketed in an underground fashion on purpose. So it looked like bloggers were discovering it, but really the people were promoting it. Anyway, it was pretty much first, it was origami, ooh. Then it was, it's Microsoft.
Gabbo, Gabbo, Gabbo!
Ooh, so now it's everyone's like, Microsoft, origami, what could it be?
Patent on paper, I'm telling you.
Yeah, so people knew that Microsoft was going to compete with the iPod. Dum, dum, dum. They were like, okay, maybe that's what this is. And now, what it's looking like right now is, number one, Microsoft is going to do something tomorrow. For sure. They're making some sort of announcement.
All right. Well, I know that I'll guess they're at least going to continue being a monopoly.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. If you didn't know, Apple is also making an announcement tomorrow.
Ooh.
Dum, dum, dum.
See, I'm more interested in the Apple one, even though, I mean, you know, for all the, you hear me and Scott arguing, I'm real cynical about gadgets that come out. Like, I see the new iPod or whatever, and I think, wow, that's cool, but screw that, I don't want it. But I still think it's cool, so don't get me wrong. I'm excited about what Apple's going to announce, but I'm probably not going to buy whatever it is.
Anyway, so everyone is like, ooh. But the latest thing going around the net, and I haven't read enough to be 100% sure, is this device. And it's like, it's bigger than a PSP, but it didn't seem too thick. And the whole thing is like a screen, but there's like a few buttons on the side. And I think it's a touch screen. And It's a Microsoft device, and it seems to... It's not running Windows CE. If it's running Windows CE, it's running, like, a really, really powerful Windows CE. Like, holy crap. Because apparently it can, like, do MP3s and, you know, play freaking Halo and be a PDA and be play videos. It's supposed to be a freaking everything.
So, yeah, it's basically a handheld device that's kind of between a PSP and a small laptop.
It's like between a PSP and a tablet PC. Think of like a tablet PC, only weak, but not like the OQO, bigger than that and not as sucky.
Now, the main thing that got me was that the price point looks like it's going to be significantly under $1,000.
Significantly under $1,000.
Like they said, $600 to $800 I saw on one site.
Yeah, if you've seen the Nokia something 700 or whatever, it's like this Linux tablet thing that's meant for your living room. Like, you can browse the web on it, and you can IM on it, and it has a touch screen, and Nokia makes it, the people who make those cell phones.
Yeah, we kind of want one to be like a semi-remote control, but that's us.
Well, that actually, the there's another device I forgot the name of, but I've seen it and used it, that's actually better for, it's a living room Linux thing. Oh, I don't know why it can't come to mind. I had like a little postcard with
an
ad.
Yeah, you've brought
board.
It up like three or four times in the past when I'd complain about the wireless keyboard downstairs, and you'd say, "Oh, let's just get a blah."
Yeah, but the problem is that thing's overpriced. If it was 200, it was like 500, I would get it, but it's like 800.
Yeah. Now this thing is 600 to 800, but it has many more functions other than just that.
Yeah. You could, like, replace... It's just... I don't know. We'll see what happens. I have a feeling it's going to be loaded with mad DRMs.
Yeah, but we'll see if it's loaded with mad cracks, too.
Yeah. So, keep your eyes wide open for something called Origami from Microsoft, and because it might be something that, you know, pushes out the PSP and the iPod a little bit, and possibly even, like, start pushing on things like Trios and, you know... Sidekicks and whatnot.
I mean, it definitely competes. At least it competes with the PSP, I'm pretty sure, because the PSP is not a gaming system anymore. It's basically an MP3 player and a movie watcher.
Don't forget ROM player.
Yeah,
it's
ROM
number
player.
Number
ROM
one
player.
Function, it's a ROM player.
Now, yeah, ROM. I mean, I'm really thinking of getting a PSP once they get cheaper because I want a ROM player that's portable.
I think that by the time the PSP is cheap enough to be a ROM player,
there'll be a ROM player.
The DS will be a ROM player.
Yeah,
or you can just buy a ROM player. Like a bootleg Chinese thing full of ROMs.
Yeah, that should exist. And if it doesn't, it will soon.
I'm pretty sure it does. If it doesn't, let's make it and import it illegally.
So, things of the day. Now, this isn't the newest thing because I saw it earlier, but I know that it happened recently, so it can't have been on the internet that long. But Biscuit City... Someone in London, I think it was a Chinese guy, made a small city, little model of a city, almost entirely out of biscuits. And by biscuits, I use the British, so really, you know, like little crackers and cookie type things. All
as
different kinds.
As opposed to gingerbread and frosting and candy.
So he basically made a biscuit city. I saw some jelly beans in there. I think he used them as water because they were blue or whatever. But it's kind of cool. And the coolest thing was a bunch of people then came in and were allowed to eat the city since it was entirely edible, being biscuit.
Wouldn't you want to keep the city? I mean...
Well, no, it's made of biscuit. It would rot.
But usually when you make a gingerbread house, you don't eat it.
I eat gingerbread houses.
I mean, like, you make a little one, then you eat it, but usually people make them and then they...
Yeah, that's stupid. Then why make a gingerbread house?
I always remember in elementary school, we would make gingerbread houses, and then we never ate them. They always went somewhere, or they sat around the room, and then they did something with them. I don't know.
Yeah, I'd make one, and it would sit around the room for like a week, and then I'd eat it.
I don't remember ever eating the gingerbread houses, although while we made the gingerbread houses, I partook of much gingerbread, well, graham crackers, and frosting.
Yeah.
Because it was weird. They always called them gingerbread houses, but you never made them out of gingerbread.
I did.
We made them out of graham crackers and frosting.
Yeah. So the funniest thing is, I don't know why the article went into this much detail, but then it talked about how they're providing tea to anyone who wants to eat the biscuit city. But they said, and they said specifically in the article, but we don't know what kind of tea they're going to offer. Like, that's a big deal.
It's British. What do you expect? In Britain, the tea is important. So, I don't know how many of you out there are super smart scientists.
Well, we know at least three of you are.
Yeah, But I don't think they're quantum physicists.
No. But quantum theory, at least, is, I mean, I'm not going to claim that I'm an expert by any stretch, but I know a decent bit about, I know more about it than I do about viruses.
I think there was this great quote I heard once.
Anyone who claims sort of to like, understand quantum physics doesn't.
It was something along those lines. Like, yeah. Like, you know, no, it was pretty much like some, no one who claims to understand quantum physics does, and you know, anyone who does doesn't claim, or some, it was some paradoxical two-sentence thing that pretty much amounted to no one freaking understands quantum physics.
Yeah, because it really doesn't make a lot of sense.
Yeah, so there is one thing about quantum physics that's pretty much like the fundamental experiment, the same way that, like, you know, the apple falling in Isaac Newton's head is the fundamental experiment of gravity, and Galileo throwing a bowling ball and a pebble out the window of his tower is the fundamental...
It's the diffraction grating experiment that shows that electrons behave in strange ways.
Yeah. So I found, by random chance, not minutes ago, this CG video. It's completely computer-generated, of this crazy CG scientist explaining to you this experiment with a very good and graphical demonstration of it. So, if, you know, what happens often is people will say, ooh, this is something quantum, blah, and they just tell you something's quantum and you believe it because you don't understand it for crap. If you watch this, maybe you'll have a better idea of what quantum physics is about, and when people start talking about quantum crap, if they're just making, you know, bullshit up, you'll be like, hey, you're just making bullshit up.
Because quantum theory is mostly math. A lot of people like to say things like, oh, I understand the theory of quantum blah blah blah, I just don't know the math, or I like all the theory of physics, but I don't like the math. It is the math. The math is all that matters.
Well, it's really that a lot of quantum physics you can't really do. You just work with numbers, and then stuff seems to work out in the numbers, and then somehow it matches something, and it's
and then weird. Other people can do, but the do is very not... You'd think it'd be interesting to watch, like, a video of scientists doing, like, you know, particle accelerator, slam two things together, and look at what comes out. No, it's not interesting. I did a tour of a particle accelerator at a university a long time ago in high school. It was cool when they talked about it, but then they showed it to us, and the guy went, click, and we heard a noise. And then he said, that was it. Now we spend the next 8 hours analyzing the data. Are there any questions?
Yep. That's pretty much how it goes. So here's a video with a crazy scientist, and at least the CG guy will entertain you. Hopefully.
So moving on to the main bit, Listall.
All right, so... this is a thing called Listall, Listal.
Not Listall. That will get you a whole bunch of spam crap.
Yeah, www.listal.com. I want to talk about it because I've been using it for a long time, and there are not many things that I end up using for quite as long as I use Listall, so I figure it's worth talking about.
I'd say so. I mean, I don't use it, but I've watched you use it, and it's at least interesting. And depending on how it goes, I may eventually jump on board.
Yeah, well, I'm going to tell you about all these new features that are reasons that you want to use it.
So how new are these features?
This is what this episode is going to be. If I can convince Rim to use Listall, that it's somehow useful to him.
Now, this may be a little self, but basically, if he is not successful in convincing me to use it, that does not mean that you shouldn't, because it is hard as hell to convince me to do just about anything.
Yeah, because remember, Rim just doesn't care.
Yeah, I'm still working on that song. There's going to be the Rim Doesn't Give a Shit song any week now.
And if anyone can send us, you know, a Rim Doesn't Give a Shit song before we make one, we'll compensate you.
I won't give a shit.
So anyway, you know, this all... Nowadays, there's all kinds of websites that do all sorts of things. You know, Flickr does your photos, and Gmail does your mail, and, you know, the blog lines does your feed reading. Listall manages your stuff. You know, a lot of people like to make databases of, like, their stuff.
Yeah, our friend Scott Johnson, way back, always made a database of all the comics he had and all the comics he needed. That way, he could just have a little list when he went to conventions and go through the backorder bins like, blip, 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 I need this one.
Yep. And then he would check things off and whatever.
Well, make more manga than comics, but yeah, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. But anyway, Listall can't help you with your comic books, but it can help you with your DVDs. That's a problem, is it doesn't do VHS and it doesn't do anything else. It does DVDs. Your books. This is anything with an ISBN number that is, you know, pretty much anywhere. Is books, books, books. Music. Pretty much music really only encompasses CDs.
Great, because we own so many CDs.
I actually don't use the music portion. I have exactly one thing in the music portion.
Thing is, we don't need a music portion because I have ID3s and a giant file system full of MP3s. Yeah.
And last thing it lets you keep track of is your video games, which is very, very useful. So what Listall does is you go into it and you just enter into it. I own this DVD. I own that DVD. I own that DVD. I own this DVD, I own this book. And you can enter things in by ISBN number, by Amazon ID, after you make an account, of course.
I'll bet if you had a barcode scanner, it'd make it real easy.
Maybe if the barcodes read out the ISBN numbers instead of some SKUs.
Yeah, even SKUs can usually be used to correlate in some way.
It's actually sort of tedious to enter in all the stuff, into Listall in the first place. Like, it took me a couple hours to enter in all the books I had in my room, you know? And then, like, I had to keep... And then, like, I would try to enter in all the DVDs I had, but I had to keep going downstairs to look at them because I forgot what I had. But anyway, eventually you put... Let's just concentrate on the books because that's what I use the most of. It's the same for DVDs, music, and games. You know, there's really no difference. There's just the four... There's just four categories they separate your stuff into. So in Listall, you enter in every book you own and you have a list of every book you own with a nice little picture and everything. And it tells you who the author is. Then you can rate everything you own on a scale of 0, which means you didn't rate it yet, to 10 stars. So now, not only do you have a list of everything you own, you have a list of everything you own with a ranking. So then you can sort it showing, like, put my favorite stuff on top. Or show me the crap that I own so I know what to get rid of. You know, all that sort of thing. Then you can tag stuff. So manga are books. I mostly use to keep track of like manga and trade paperbacks. You can't use it for comic books because they don't have ISBN numbers. But you can use it for the, you know, collections of comic books and trades because those are books.
Uh-huh.
And you tag it. So I tag all my manga with the manga tag. So then whenever I want to see a list of all my manga, I just say, show me all my manga. And it makes a list of my manga. And you can sort things by the date you added, so show me my recent stuff, or show me my favorite manga. Now, this is sort of useful, and, you know, I guess some people would be happy with just that. But that's not quite enough. So the next thing Listall does is it lets you have a wanted list. You go in and you say, I don't own that, but I want it. You say, I want it, I want it, I want it, I want it, I want it. So now, for DVDs, books, music, and games, you have an owned list and a wanted list. And in the wanted list, you can also rate things in a scale of 1 to 10 stars and tag things and the whole shebang. It's just a separate list. Oh, I forgot to mention, you can also, in addition to ranking things from 1 to 10 stars, you can say, you know, for books, you can say, I read the book, I didn't read the book, or I'm currently reading the book. It's sort of useful.
Nah.
Just the way you can say, show me my unread books. And you get a list of the books you haven't read yet, and you're like, oh, okay, which one am I going to read first?
I'll admit that is more efficient than my current method of there's a pile of books next to my bed, and I'm reading the one on top.
Yeah. So, I'm going to get to the useful stuff now. So, currently, Listall is a database, DVDs, books, music, and games.
All right, so far, in the tally of RIM, it's very interesting. I think it's cool. I think anyone who uses it is pretty cool, but I don't see any reason for me to use it yet.
Okay, ready?
All right.
Let's start getting into the good stuff.
Let's do this.
Yeah. Listall, you can... All right, so my account name is APRECHE. Any of you...
And how do you say that?
No one knows. You can go to APRECHE.listall.com. Go there right now. I know you're near a computer, probably. I don't know. You might be. And you'll see my stuff. So now other people can look at my wanted list, and they can look at the stuff I own, and they can see what I think about it.
All right, point the first. What if you have a lot of porno or something horrible that you want to put in there, but you don't want other people to see it? Can you make something private?
You know, I've never even thought about that, but you might be able to. And if not, I'll go ask about that.
Yeah, I'm just curious. It's not a make or breaker on this.
Yeah, if you have a bunch of porno, you should be showing off that collection, yo.
Like our friend Dave.
Yeah, if you got...
All right, Should we tell the porno story or save that for a story day?
We could tell it after I'm done talking about Lestal.
Yeah, let's save it for another day.
You do whatever you want.
Yeah.
Okay. So you can show it to your friends. That's useful. Now, what if your friends join Lestal? Well, now you have a whole nother load of stuff coming in on you. You can use Lestal to keep track of what you've loaned to your other Lestal friends and what you've borrowed from your other Lestal friends.
Whoa. All right. I got to say, the meter was zero. It's at one now toward me using this because I can't describe to you the hundreds and hundreds of dollars of books I've lost because I freaking lend it to someone and I forget I even owned it.
You can also go and look at your friends and say, hey, he's got that book that I want to borrow. Request that I can borrow it from him. And that will notify him in his list or her in their Lestal that Scott, you know, wants to borrow that from you. If, you know, and I can say, oh, but someone else is currently borrowing it from them. And three other people requested to borrow it from them. I guess I'm low in the list waiting.
I guess I'd better buy it and then lend it to other people.
You know, but you put it in your wanted list and maybe someone will notice and buy it for you on your birthday. So it's really, if all you and all your friends use Lestal and recognize each other as friends, now you're getting into the good stuff.
All right, so here's a question. I use Netflix. I mean, we both use Netflix, but I own the account.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm the one who, like, sets up the list, and I see all our friends. And by the way, anyone who wants to be a Netflix friend with, you know, Geek Nights, our house, just send us an email, and I'll set all that up offline.
Mm-hmm.
Because, actually, a lot of our friends who are doing this with us are seeing awesome movies because we see them. But anyway, Netflix has two things going for it. It has the first thing, kind of like just now, where it'll show you what all your friends are watching. You can see all your friends have all rated things. More importantly, based on what I've seen and what I claim to like, and based on the data it has, it recommends other things that I might like.
All right. There is something like that. It's not quite as automatic and awesome as Netflix. They might be working on something quite like that, but here's what you can do. If you don't have an item... there are plenty of items. This thing pretty much categorizes everything from Amazon. It gets most of its data from Amazon. So that's pretty much a whole shit ton of data. Now, if you don't have something in your collection or your wanted list, you can't rate it on a scale of 1 to 10, but you can tag it, or at least you can look at the other things people have tagged it as, and you can recommend it to a friend. So you can say, you can go looking around for books that you neither own nor want and say, oh, Joe might like this. Let me recommend this book that I just found to Joey Jojo Shavadoo.
All right, that's kind of cool, because actually I've recommended a movie called City of God to almost everyone on my list, and they've all loved it.
Yeah, so even if you don't own it or want it, you can go in and recommend it and, you know, send it to people and say, hey, you might like this. You can also review and comment on just about anything. So if you see a book and you want to say something about it, in addition to tagging it and recommending it to people or not recommending it to people, you can write a little review of it. So if something sucks, there really is no option to do an anti-recommendation or a warning, don't read this.
They should add that.
Yeah, but you can do a review saying this, and you can rate it in the review.
You know what? That's another plus one for me using this, because I'm going to say that I own the Penny Arcade card game and then say exactly...
The Penny Arcade card game isn't in here. It's not a book, DVD, music, or game.
But it has an SKU and a serial number.
It doesn't have an ISBN number.
Ugh!
It only does DVDs, books, music, and games.
It's got to do more.
I've asked for VHS, I've asked for comic books, I've asked for board games. I can't get those.
I really want board games, and I want games in general.
Yeah, games is only video games, but it pretty much covers, I haven't been able to not find, okay, no. Actually, it doesn't have old video games. It has like Game Boy, Game Boy Color, Game Boy Advance, Game Boy, you know.
Anything I could have bought on like Amazon at some point.
Yeah,
you could never buy old NES games on Amazon back in the day because it didn't exist.
Anything that Amazon has ever sold, I think, is in there. So you got your... It doesn't have Super Nintendo, I don't think. I think it has N64, PlayStation, and that stuff, and newer.
Uh-huh.
That's what's in there. So, yeah, then there's really no way to add in your own stuff because that would just screw everything up. So, whatever. You also can't add, like, vinyl records and cassette tapes and VHS, which is... and 8-tracks, which is something that I kind of wanted. I also have a problem. I have a book with
what
no...
What about my gramophone?
Yeah. I have a book with no ISBN number on it, and I can't add it to my own list.
What book?
It's a really old book. I bought at a used bookstore.
Huh. I got some old books. I'll have to see if they're in there.
Yeah. I mean, this book is real old, like real tattered and everything.
Nah.
So, but okay, now, you can review anything and rank anything, and you can even invite friends to join Listall. You can just go into Listall and type in email addresses, and it'll send, you know, things to people. Now, there's two more features of Listall that are new. The thing they just added, at least as far as I know, is the groups feature. I am in the comics and manga group. So anyone who enjoys comics and manga, whether they're your friend or not, can join any group they want. So you join the comics and manga group, and the comics and manga group, it says who started it, when it was started, how many members there are, etc., etc. And there's a forum for each group. So you can talk to other people on Listall who are in the same group, in a little forum, which is a pretty good forum. And you can recommend things to the group and get recommendations from the group. So you join groups based on what your general interests are, and then all the people on Listall who are in those groups are all recommending things to you, and you're recommending things to them. So if your friends aren't really recommending a whole lot, you know, you all join the same group, and then, oh, look at all this stuff in here that other people say is good.
Uh-huh.
Like, oh, let's look at the comics and manga group. Let's see. Watchmen is recommended. Lupin the Third is recommended. Let's see. I already have or have read 1, 2, 3, 4 out of the 7 recommendations in here. There just aren't a lot of people in the group. That's why there aren't.
Yeah, though I got to say, that was the one thing that made me realize that Netflix's recommending thing was so good, was simply that I started rating movies that I'd watched, and every time I refreshed the page, it recommended basically 5 movies that I'd already seen and loved. And every time I rated those and refreshed the page, it showed me 5 more movies that I'd already seen and loved.
Yeah, that's part of what this does, but I think the other thing is, like, here, look, there's a French film group. It only has one guy in it.
Oh, great.
But he's recommending 3 movies here, only one of which I've ever heard of. I've actually seen and heard of the one.
What, Amelie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he's got 2 other ones here, A Very Long Engagement and La Berge Espagnole, The Spanish Apartment.
Yeah. Yeah.
So maybe I'll go see those if this guy recommends them, you know? And if I really like French movies and I start to get a lot of them, I'll join the French film group and there's discussions in there and whatever.
Discussions? There's one guy.
Well, you know, eventually there'll be more guys.
No, it's just one guy talking to himself.
Whatever. The second biggest group is the anime fans group, actually.
Yeah, I didn't see that coming.
Yeah, were they all recommending anime DVDs to each other? Hey, someone...
Now, honestly, that's a point against for me. I mean, well, not a point against, really, but... While I'd love to do something like that, I could really own. I don't own much anime because Netflix. I hate to keep bringing up Netflix. It's just so similar. Killed it for me. I used to buy a lot of anime because I wanted to see it. Now, if I want to see an anime, I rent it because that costs me almost nothing.
Yeah,
and I buy like the fewest of few anime DVDs now.
See, but it's not so much about, you know. Part of it is keeping track of the collection of stuff you have, which is, you know, that's pretty much the primary function. But now it seems like. Really, those tabs are on the left, and the friends and groups tabs are on the right. So it seems now like it has these two functions that are sort of tied together and sort of not. Like, your collection is sort of like, now, instead of being a program where you keep track of your collection and that's what it does, and you share your collection with other people, now it's a program where you make groups and you recommend things to each other, and you have a forum and you discuss things. And then your profile just happens to include your entire collection of stuff and your ratings of it and everything like that. You know, it's just like you have this giant profile that happens to be full of your entire collection. The last thing they actually added recently was mail. You can just send messages to people in the system willy-nilly.
That's all right.
Yeah, whatever.
I have so many systems like that already. I mean, every now and then I log, because I don't actually log into my Delicious often. I just post to it. And I looked in there the other day, and a whole bunch of people have sent me links that I never even noticed.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'll log into, like, Orkut, and a million people have tried to say something to me, and I just haven't looked there.
Yeah. The thing is, Listall isn't really, you know, 100% perfect. There's a lot of things they could add to it, like VHS, you know, I already talked about all of that. And they could add some sort of automatic recommendation system, like, oh, you seem to match up with those people, huh? Maybe you should, you know, get on with that. But, you know...
See, that'd be tough for me because while I like a lot of things, I don't purchase a lot of things.
It doesn't matter if you purchase a lot of things because you can go and rate and review things that you haven't purchased.
Yeah,
and
I guess
you
that'll
go work. In and say what you want, whether you've purchased it or not. You know, so even if you don't have a lot of stuff, it can also look at, oh, he liked all this stuff, and you can go and review and talk and share and keep track of borrowed goods.
Yeah, the keeping track of borrowed goods, especially books, is very much a point four.
Yeah. The only the one problem I have with Lestal, and I don't think there's any way to really fix this, is I have to do it. Like, whenever I buy books or video games or something, I come home, I have to remember to go to Lestal and type it all in.
Now, it seems like this, like, the initial pain would just be, all right, I'm on Lestal, I have to go through everything I own and type it in.
Yeah. Once everything you own is in, you know, you buy a few things at a time, and it's pretty pleasurable to add, like, you know, you go to the bookstore, you buy three books, you add them in. 1, 2, 3. That's fun. Adding in the 100 books you already own that aren't in there, that's the painful part at the beginning. You know, but as long as you have like a numpad and you type those ISBNs pretty quick, you know, ISBN enter. Then, you know, eventually it's over and you go, ah, and you're all good. You can also make, I think there are some other features that I don't use so often. Like you can make special lists of stuff. Like I can make a list like, you know, awesome Metroid games or something. And I just make a custom list and I give it a name. You just make lists of things.
Uh-huh.
You know, things I got this week. Things I'm going to buy next week. Things I want you to buy me for my birthday. Things Rim doesn't like. Things Rim doesn't care about. And I just make a list of, you know, games, books, movies, and music that Rim doesn't like. Just make a list. And then people can look at the list and share them with each other and... You know, you can rate the things in the list, and you can pretty much do anything except VHS tapes.
Well, is that all your pitch? Because then, like the Phoenix Wright judge, I will consider all the evidence and pass my judgment.
Mm-mm-mm.
All right.
Yeah.
I'd slam the table, but I got the amplification really up, so that would just make a loud, annoying noise into the microphone.
Yeah, but this is for all you other people out there. If you have a lot of stuff, or you want to keep track of your stuff, and... Especially, come and join me. I think I'm one of the most active Lestal users. I mean,
you might be. You gave a good sales pitch for it. I mean, it's free, but you sold it to me.
I got 55 video games in there, one music, 205 books, and 42 DVDs.
Not too shabby.
And of course, one book. I actually have more books that are at my house and my parents' house that aren't in there. Oh,
oh God! I just remembered the hundreds of books that are in boxes in Arizona that I got to get out here somehow.
Yeah, see, there you go. Even though you're not buying any, you can just add all those in there. And
I'm really looking forward to having those shipped out here.
Yeah,
and how much money that's going to cost.
There's one more thing it actually does. If you click on the main page for like, I'm going to click on the main page for books, right? The book homepage, right?
All right.
It says, on the left are the custom lists. Of course, I don't have any custom lists. I never made any, so there's nothing there. Then it says my tags. So the tags is when you make your own categories for books, right? So the categories that I've made are there in alphabetical order, and next to each one is a parenthesis with the number of things in that category. All right. Under that, it says my authors. And based on the number of things I own from each author... Their name is bolder and closer to the beginning of the box.
That's handy. Weren't you the one who just recently, you were reading a bunch of comics that you thought were all great, and then you noticed that they're all by the same guy?
Yeah, you mean the guy who's the fourth on my list here, Brian K. Vaughan?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, so what can happen with this is, let's say you're the kind of, like, before I started listening to these comic guys podcasts, I didn't pay attention to who wrote or drew comic books or anything. I didn't care. You know, and maybe you read manga or you read books or you buy DVDs, you know.
Yeah, I never really paid attention to any of that myself.
Yeah, and you don't pay attention to who directs them or who acts in them or anything like that, right? Well, if you just add in your collection, look at here, DVD directors. Mitsuo Fukuda is my number one director. Let's see what he directs. Oh, he directed the 10 Gundam Seed DVDs that I got. All right. Let's see, Noboru Mitsuo, he directed Initial D. All right, because those are the DVDs I have the most of. Oh, apparently someone different directed the first season of Initial D as opposed to the second.
You know, that explains a bit.
Yeah. John Walker the 18th. Oh, he directed Transformers. All right, so you get the idea here. You know, you add in your collection, and then boop, oh, those are the directors I like. And then you can go search for those directors, see what else they directed, add that stuff to your wanted list, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know, like, I don't know actors and actresses either, but, oh, here they are. Oh, Donnie Yen. I know him.
Uh-huh.
You know, he's in there.
Maybe if you do this more and more, you'll be able to pass that Anime World Order test that I failed so miserably at Katsukan.
Yeah, probably. It's the same with music, too. Like, you add your albums, and it tells you what artists, you know, you can see which artist visibly you got more of. And video games, it does it for systems, which isn't so useful. Not even.
Huh, we have mostly GameCube and DS games.
Actually, Game Boy Advance, Game Boy Color, GameCube, and DS are equally bold. Then PC is slightly less bold. PlayStation is slightly less bold, and the original Game Boy is tiny.
All right. So, all that considered, I will pass my judgment.
Mm-hmm.
There are many points for, and I am one tiny step away from jumping into this with both feet. It's awesome. I think it's really cool. The only thing is that it doesn't have board games.
Yeah, I know, right?
And, like, if it had board games, if when I asked about board games, you would have said, yeah, it has board games, I would have been making an account right now while I'm talking.
Yep.
But I'm real close, and if there's ever a hint that board games are coming, I think I'm going to be a listaller.
Yeah, I keep going into their forum and pushing, like, hey, you guys need to add other stuff besides these four things, and I don't know. They seem like they just want to keep it simple, which is understandable from a design perspective.
Well, I also wonder, what's their privacy agreement? Do they sell the data to marketers or anything?
Oh, no, there's just some guy making a thing.
But does he have a policy?
Does
he have a written privacy policy? I'm just curious. I mean, I don't care if some secret government agency or some horrible marketing company knows that I like Harris Greenwood and I tend to watch a lot of shoujo crap anime. But I'd like to know that they know.
It doesn't actually say anywhere, but it does say this. Lestal was created by Tom Mascord. He's been involved in a number of web projects, most notably Dark Galaxy, an online game. All right, whatever. Over the last few years, he was fascinated with the development of so many different social websites like Flickr, Friendster, and Delicious. He decided to just create one centered around media collections. That's it. It's just some guy made it. It's not anything corporate or there's no...
No, it's not anything corporate, but there's nothing prohibiting him from just selling all the data to people willy-nilly.
Let me see if there's a EULA when you click the sign up button. Okay, wow. No, there really is nothing, no agreement whatsoever when you join Lestal at all. I just typed in, like, FUBAR and some crummy password, and in 2 seconds I had an account and I was logged in. It didn't have to do a confirmation email.
Great.
Or anything. It's that easy.
All right. The only thing I wonder about is what he does with the data, or if he's ever
I don't think he does anything with the data. I think it just...
No, he doesn't, but the thing is, there's nothing stopping him from doing it. I mean, if I were him, I imagine...
Well, also, we didn't... You know, explicitly give him permission to do it.
Doesn't matter. If you don't, it's implied. If you give someone information, they can do whatever they want with it, unless there's a law or contract to the contrary.
That's fine. What do I care if someone knows?
Oh, yeah,
DVD?
I'm not saying I care. It's not even a strike against. But if I were him, and he's really just a cool hobbyist, he should put something up. He should put some sort of, I'm not going to use your data for this, or something.
I think he's just never come up. Maybe I'll go say something in the forum. I'm sure he'll take care of that right away.
Let's find out. Maybe we'll interview him on the show.
Maybe.
I'd like to.
Yeah.
All right. We thought we were going to also talk about Delicious today, but we've already done a whole show on Lestal.
Did we really do a whole show?
Yeah, we pretty much did.
Wow.
We've been going long for the last week, so this episode's actually back to the normal length for now.
Going long is good because then we don't have to come up with more crap.
And that was Geek Nights with Rim and Scott. Special thanks to DJ Pretzel for our opening theme.
Be sure to visit our website at www.frontrowcrew.com. If you like our podcast, you'll love our forums. Make sure you visit them. You can send your email feedback to geeknights@gmail.com. And if you want, you can leave us a voicemail at 206-333-1537.
Geek Nights airs every weeknight, Monday through Thursday.
Geek Nights is recorded with absolutely no studio and no audience. But unlike those other talk shows, it's actually recorded at night.